Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. The 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and of wisdom, who may be put in charge of this task, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and dragged him away, brought him before the council, and they put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Amen. Wow, this is like a really short chapter. We haven't had a short chapter in a long time. But chapter 6 is, we go back to, the enemy's assignment, right? So, you know, we had attack from outside, attack inside, another attack outside, and now we have an attack coming from the inside. And this was not just merely about the distribution of food, you know, and you'll find that most issues or problems that arise in church or within the body, that the manifestation may be an issue, right? That, you know, in this case, the Jews, in particular, the word says the Hellenistic Jews, right? And these would be non-Palestinian Jews who basically spoke Greek, you know, and against the native Hebrews. And so, you know, there were, you know, basically the devout Hebrews, and these guys spoke Hebrew or most likely Aramaic, you know, and then you had another group of people that were like the second generation, you know, these were, you know, Jews that they were Greeks, you know, they lived like a Greek, they spoke Greek primarily, you know, and for many of us that are Asian, we understand this, right? We, you know, our parents are first generation, we're second generation, or maybe even third generation or whatnot, and so our values and our customs and our language is different, you know, and so what was happening, it was a bit of issue of racism more than anything else and favoritism. You know, the manifestation was the distribution of food, right? The manifestation was that, hey, the Jewish women are getting all the food, you know, the widows, right? You know, but the Greek widows were getting nothing, right? Or they're getting leftovers. And so, you know, that would have been the effect, but there was something going on that was a little bit deeper, you know, and the early church was still a bit divided, you know, in how they should approach this whole Gentile inclusion, right? And really the rest of the book of Acts really begins to bring that point out, you know, with Paul being called, you know, or Saul being called as Paul and coming on the scene. And then, you know, then we see the Acts of Cornelius. And, you know, and so we see that, you know, in chapter 6, there's a shift that's taking place, you know, in Luke and the way he's writing this. And so, you know, they're getting overlooked in the serving of the food. They call the congregation together, the 12 apostles, and they come up with a solution, right? And they say something, you know, I mean, quite profound and quite touching in the same time. They said, verse 4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word," right? And they recognize their focus, right? They recognize that as apostles, this is what we should be doing, you know? And, you know, honestly, I mean, this is a different contrast than the way most churches are run, right? And you know, And so they pick 12, right? Or they pick 7 guys. And have you noticed anything about these guys' names? You know, I mean, just looking at their names. What's the first thing that comes out to you? Right? They're all Greeks. You know, these guys were genius. I mean, so there was an issue, and it was the Greeks that felt shunned through this whole process, right? There were, you know, I'm sure it was that group that was complaining, right? Hey, how come our widows, our Greek widows, are not getting fed, right? And so what do these guys do? They bring forth and they pick 7 men, right, who happen to be all Greeks, right, to minister effectively, but, you know, that showed no impartiality, right? I mean, this is a pretty wise move, you know, on their part, right, to pick precisely, you know, the people that were being ignored, you know, and I don't think that was one of the reasons, you know, or the main reason, but because they were men that were of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, you know, and they put them in charge of this task. And this is actually where we get the whole lineage in the church of deacons, right? You know, deacons in Greek, you know, I mean, you could literally translate it as someone who serves tables, right? Or other translations say someone who washes tables, right? And so these guys would be the ones that, you know, and like in church, right, we have such like, and I'm speaking mostly on a Korean church context, right? And I'm sure the Chinese churches are very similar, right? But it's like we really exalt titles and positions, you know, like, you know, I mean, in the Korean church, you know, as soon as you go to church, you have a title right away. You know, they call you a jipsanim, which is basically deacon, right? And then it's like they have a whole like army ranking system, you know, because then, you know, once you do that for a while, you can become an ansujiksanim, right, which is like a little higher rank, even though there's no mention of that in all of the scriptures, right? You know, and then if you're a woman, you know, there's other titles, right? And then there's, you know, kansanim, kwanzanim, right, which is a female elder, right? And you know, and I mean, you have all these layers of leadership, right, which is, I'm not going to use the word unbiblical, but it's just not in the Bible. And all you have is deacons. And so we have to be very careful, right, that, you know, we exalt positions in the church. Because the primary position was someone that just simply washed tables, right, that served food, you know. And if we think that's menial labor in 2011, trust me, it was menial labor in the first century as well. It's not like it was one of these things where, well, it was such an honor to. No, it was just basic, bare-bones servanthood. You know, but that's the heart of what a deacon was. You know, and that's why, you know, it's like it's ridiculous to see churches have politics and conflict with titles. You know, I'm this person, I'm that person. I mean, it's just so ridiculous because the root of this was really a heart of servanthood. You know, it's just a desire to minister to a certain group of people in the church and make sure their needs are getting met. And these guys doing whatever it took, you know, and so it meant, you know, setting the tables up, setting the food up, you know, it could even have included making the food. I mean, I don't know, you know, and then it also include washing up after them, making sure the portions, you know, in other words, these guys were waiters, you know, and busboys all wrapped up in one. And that was the heart of what it meant to be a deacon, you know, heart of what it meant to serve the church, you know, and it is really, really interesting, you know, because, I mean, I've seen even in our life as a church, you know, I've seen people get really upset because they didn't get chosen to, you know, to be a leader in certain ministries and whatnot, right? And then, I mean, it's just ridiculous to even have those kind of feelings. You know why? It's because it's all about serving. You don't need to have a title to serve. You know, you don't need to have a position to serve because it's about an attitude of the heart. And so they bring forth these guys, and so what Luke is trying to do as well, you know, because, you know, there's a summary statement, right, about these men, you know, and then he pinpoints and he chooses one person, and this person is basically going to depict the kind of disciples that the apostles are producing, right? You know, what are these kind of apostles, right? You know, what are they like? You know, it's like you have the first layer of the apostles, and these guys have been with Jesus, and, you know, and then these disciples, they would have probably heard about Jesus at that time as well, you know, but what kind of disciples are these guys producing? You know, what are they like? What are their characteristics? You know, what are they about? You know, and really, more than anything else, more than the size of your church, you know what I mean? More than the funds that come through your church, more than the mission trips you take, more than any of these things, the real, you know, point, you know, or the confirmation of someone's ministry is what kind of disciples are coming out of the ministry. You know, the leadership, the people, you know, what do they love Jesus? You know, I mean, the way, you know, for me personally, you know, I operate in the same plane. You know, what kind of disciples are coming out of Solomon's porch? You know, is, you know, I mean, forget numbers and money and trips and these kind of things. What are the kind of people, right, that are being discipled in this place? And then what are they doing in the world? Right? I mean, this is what really is sets, you know, the mark for, you know, effective leadership more than anything. Not how well the church is run. I mean, that's okay too, right? But what kind of people are coming out of Solomon's porch? You know, and so in this context, these guys are operating the same way. And so Stephen, you know, is chosen, right, to be the point person to depict this is the kind of disciple. You know, we had a team, and, you know, and this summer, I mean, I was very proud of many, many different things, right? You know, I was proud, you know, in terms of the church that, you know, I mean, I could go away, you know, for a month with my family, you know, as part of our sabbatical thing. And, you know, and the church is running great, you know, probably better than, you know, if I was here, right? Mission trips were happening. People were going out. But I got an email from, it was actually Grace Chung's boss, you know, at Bloom. And she was just talking about, you know, just really thanking me as a senior pastor for the team that they had sent to Cambodia, you know, and just like superlative after superlative. I mean, just, you know, it was one of the nicest emails I ever got, you know, and she would talk about Pastor Nate. What did she say when Pastor Nate leads worship? She said, mentions it was like a portal to heaven. You know, and I was like, really? You know, but I mean, just so many, you know, and all the people that came and the girls that served and they prayed for the other girls and, you know, and they were just, she was just so happy, excited. You know, she couldn't believe that, you know, our church had so many quality people like this that really had a genuine spirit of Jesus, you know, and loved, you know, and just, she was just going on and on and on and on. And man, I was like, I was really happy, you know, obviously. You know, I was really proud. I was like, yeah, these are the kind of disciples, right, that we are forming in this church. And, you know, and what a blessing, right? And, you know, at the same time, it also could be very negative, right, if, you know, if our guys are going to get drunk in Lan Kwai Fong every weekend and, you know what I mean, and, you know, throwing things at people at work. And, you know, it's like, wow, I guess that's not really the kind of disciple that we want to see. You know, which just presses us to pray harder and, you know, and disciple more. You know, I mean, it's not bad news, right? It's just, you know, we know the challenges that are ahead of us in that way. And that's okay, too. You know, and so this is what these guys are depicting. And so they pick Stephen, right? Full of grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. See, this is the natural progression. Okay, like a lot of us, we, you know, and you'd be very, very surprised, because this would seem like it's such natural understanding. You'd be so surprised how many people don't get it, you know, and things. And so how do you start off by being a servant? You know, you start off by cleaning tables. You start off by being humble, you know, and taking care of needs, simple needs, right? And then you know what God does? He elevates you. He promotes you. You know, and you know, and the next thing you know, you're doing signs and wonders and right, and you're, you know, ministering like supernaturally to people. You know, and then later on, you know, he says his face at the end of this chapter, you know, Verse 15, it says, his face shone like an angel, right? And you become angelic. You know what I mean? Like, you don't become angelic now and then serve later, right? You don't do signs and wonders now, right, without paying your dues in a certain way. And, I mean, you'd be so surprised. We've had conversations with people at this church, you know, that wanted to, you know, be a part of this ministry and that ministry and wanted to, you know, have profile here and there, but were unwilling to pick up a vacuum cleaner. In fact, would get irate and totally upset, you know. Don't try to put names together here, okay? So I'm just speaking generally, but we know there are specific people as well. But people that would just get upset at house church leaders and all kinds of things. What? You're asking me to clean? What? Yeah, but can I join the prayer team? And can I be on Cascade? And can I do this? And can I come to this meeting? And can I get prophesied? And can I prophesy? You know, and it's like, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, really, are you kidding me? But totally don't have it figured out. Right? They want to be seen, you know, and they want to be, you know, visible, and they want to seem powerful and all these things, but unwilling to do the little things. This is the spiritual principle, biblical principle, friends, right? Be faithful in the little things, and God says, and I will entrust you with much, right? You know, in this convenient world that we live in, right? You know, we want, you know, the much now, you know, and we think, Lord, if I have the much, I'll take care of the little things. It doesn't work that way, right? God, you know, he needs to trust us. How does he trust us? Right? With simple obedience. And the little things. It's the little things of cleaning here and there, right? And, you know, little things of serving here and there. You know, seeing what the needs are at the church, you know, in the kingdom, and meeting those needs. You know, not out of fanfare, not anything, just simply, you know, and then, seriously, you just watch God elevate you and elevate you and elevate you and elevate you. You know, and this is just the way that God operates, you know. And to say a lot of wisdom in that as well, you know, because if we're entrusted much, you know, before we pay our dues or before our character is ready, it ruins us, right? Do you remember me talking about the glory of God? You know, the glory of God, the literal translation, right, is what we call weight or heaviness. You know, and God's presence, you know, his glory, I mean, signs and what, all these things, comes upon you, and if you don't have the stuff inside to last, that glory will crush you. You know, and so God waits for our character to grow and to blossom and all these things to happen, you know, and then the favor comes. And so that's what happens here with Stephen. You know, he's signs and wonders, angelic visitation, speaks with wisdom and revelation, you know, so much so that even the arguments, they couldn't touch this guy. Right, and then he becomes an angelic visitation, and then when we get to tomorrow, I'm going to draw this point out even more, right? And Stephen becomes a type of Christ, right? But that's for tomorrow, right? You know, trying to give you a little cliffhanger so you come back tomorrow. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's talk about servanthood this morning a little bit. You know, and honestly, this crowd, I'm preaching to the choir, you know. As I look around, you know, many of you guys are serving above and beyond the call of duty. You know, probably serving too much. But let's pray, continue to pray for that heart. You know, that heart to see needs and meet those needs wherever they may be. That heart to just to be a humble servant outside of title, outside of, you know, anything else. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, sorry the projectors are not working right now. We're still, they're still doing a lot of stuff here with the AV and sound. But why don't we ask this question of the Lord, Lord, how can I serve you and your church? Are there any needs? And speak to me, God. Is there anything that you would have me do, or is there any people that you would want me to minister to? Maybe there are some people being overlooked at Solomon's Porch. But how can I stand in the gap and make sure that's not happening? You know, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He'll speak to you. And just obey. You know, pray for a willingness to obey. Lord, what are the needs? What can I do? And then move in that way. And Pastor Nate's going to lead us in a song. Let's just join along and just have our ear open to the Lord. Continue to pray for just that heart of servanthood, and you know, let's ask Holy Spirit to not only speak to us, but give us the strength and the energy, the motivation to meet those needs wherever they may be. You know, in the church, at your work, in your family. You know, that the Lord would give you a real sensitivity, right, to be a minister. You know, that's That's what a minister means. It means servant. Right? Diakonia, to serve. And so let's just really go before the Lord and say, God, give me this heart to be a servant. Lord, help me to be faithful in the little things. Lord, not that you will entrust me with much, God. That's just an overflow. But just so that I'd be faithful to you. Well, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community in that way. With that heart and mind, let's pray for our community, especially those that are in need, you know, in particular that are in need of healing and a touch from the Lord. And so let's continue to remember to pray for Belinda and ask God to totally heal her of her tumor. Let's pray for Charles Hahn's dad, for Krista's aunt, for Alex's dad. Pray for Janine and Jeff and Janella's grandmother and grandfather. Pray for Peter and Doris Wagner, for Matthew Dobo's aunt. Pray for my aunt, Kian's mom, and Charles Kim's niece that we talked about yesterday, the two-year-old. I haven't got an update yet, but let's just continue to pray that she would wake up from her coma and that God would just totally heal her. And so let's also lift up our other brothers and sisters that are in need of a work. Let's pray for Mark Starnes and John King and Genevieve and Katharina and Vivian. And let's ask God's hand to be with her. This is Vivian Sung, John Wong's girlfriend. Right? And so let's pray that God would open the doors. And also for John Lee, as he desires to move back to Hong Kong. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh and his studies and ministry. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. Let's pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage, and let's lift up Grace and Bloom and all the girls there. Let's also lift up the Philippines, and let's pray for our medical clinic there, Solomon's Clinic, and pray for Elder Chang, and let's also lift up Bhutan and ask the Lord to continue to open the doors in that country. Let's lift these countries and our friends ministering there and ask that God would meet every one of their needs. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church ministries, and in particular, let's lift up the IP team. Pray for Matt. Ask for God's hand to be with him as he leads, and the team members. Pray for Cascade and for Leanne. Pray just the hand of the Lord be with them, and God would really continue to raise them up and protect them as they minister to the broken and hurting. Let's pray for the well and for Larry, and ask God to continue to use them to really bring about healing and signs and wonders in this house. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight, Causeway Bay, MacDaddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's ask the Lord would really meet every person's needs when they come, be it a need for some social life, or a need for prayer, or a need for fellowship, or you know, a need for God's word, whatever it may be, that tonight in each of these meetings that their needs would be met, you know, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray for just a real wonderful time of worship, of fellowship, of His word, you know, in a prayer. And let's cover. And lastly, let's pray for our meetings coming up this weekend, our Thanksgiving revival. Pastor Rob will be arriving just in a few hours. Let's pray that as he lands that he's refreshed and the flight was good, and he get to rest up today as he's ministering to us tomorrow. Let's pray for Sean as he makes his way. He should be leaving L.A. Fairly soon as well. Let's just cover them as they preach. Let's pray for the now word. Let's pray that they would just really speak God's truth to us, and pray for real powerful prophetic anointing. Let's pray that you know, they would minister powerfully, that there would be, you know, really a lot of excitement and a real hunger to hear God's voice. And you know, and at the same time, it wouldn't just be, you know, two people ministering, but the whole church would minister to each other. And we would really take this time to really celebrate and just really thank God, not only for this space, you know, but just for His faithfulness all these years over our lives. And pray that people will come out, you know, and people will get saved. And we just really have a wonderful, you know, time to really kickstart this new venue and really a new season for our church. And so let's lift up right now. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for just the incredible opportunity, God, that you give to us, Lord, for this weekend and the opportunities that you give us every single day to serve you and to serve your body, Lord. And help us, God, to always have that heart, Lord, to minister, that heart to help, that heart to serve, God. And let us always walk in that simple attitude, Lord God. We thank you. Lord, even show us today, God, where we can be of service to you, Lord, and to your body and your kingdom. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. And tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So we'll see you then.